Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
My name is Angie. I've been going to City View for about a year now, and my story really starts about 10 years ago, my senior year of high school. I grew up with in a very strong family, Christian family. I even went to a high school that I was surrounded by almost my entire group of friends from church. It was a really good support system, and I still ended up falling for the lies of the enemy. In the beginning of my senior year, I started to like a boy that was not a believer. He did not follow the Lord, didn't believe anything about God. He was everything that I knew that I wasn't supposed to go towards or gravitate towards. And I tried to fight. I tried to tell myself, no, this is wrong. I know this is wrong. I know this isn't the right way to go. And then one day it just seemed like everything kind of snapped in my mind. I decided that, you know, I know better. I know better than my family and my friends. I know better than God. And this is the way that I want to go. And so I started to date this boy, and things just kind of took off from there. I secretly was dating him behind my parents' back and behind my friends' back, and was just living this double life.
Well, I'm Al Semler. This is my wife, Sharon Semler. We are Angie Patterson's parents. And what I remember about Angie growing up more than anything else is every time I came home from work, she'd come running from where it is and jump into my arms. From when she was little to where she got a little bit too big to do that, and I was a little too old, but it was still, she'd always come running to the door and say, "Hi, Daddy." And those memories are what made the break so hard later on, and why I became so angry with her, because she betrayed me and betrayed my wife, and my wife was really her champion throughout her years, and that was tough for me.
Angie and I had the greatest relationship she was growing up. And it was our oldest daughter that shared the information that she found. It was October 1st when we found out that Angie had a secret life. And it was very extensive, and I was shocked because I trusted her, and I never ever thought that anything like that would have happened with her.
Beginning of October in 2008, so about 10 years ago, that everything came out, my secret came out, my family found out about my relationship, and I decided from that moment on my 18th birthday, which is in November, that I would move out of the house so I could be with this guy and I could live the life that I wanted to live. And so on my 18th birthday, I packed up my room, all my clothes. I moved out and moved in with some friends from school, some non-Christian friends, and lived with them for a few weeks, and then had to kind of bounce around to different houses while I was out trying to find a place to stay. And things just kind of kept getting worse and worse. I kept falling deeper into my own sin, my own lies, and didn't care about my family, didn't care about what they thought. I ignored them, completely cut them out of my life, and tried to cut God out of my life.
I never prayed so hard, fasted, and pressed into the Lord like I did during those dark days. And I kept trusting she wasn't going to leave, and that God was going to do a miracle, and he was going to move the mountain. And it didn't happen that way. And I felt like a failure.
So it was a couple months that I was living out of the house, dating this boy. And I had my friends tried intervening. They tried doing interventions, literally sitting me down and trying to talk some sense into me. And I just wouldn't listen. I would space out. I would almost kind of go into this trance in my mind and just be like, no, I'm going to ignore them. I'm going to ignore everyone else. So I can't hear God speaking to me and trying to drown that out. And I did it pretty successfully for a little while. And then ended up happening. The guy, we didn't end up working out. And I was so upset, not really at the end of the relationship, but more so that, great, now I got it. Now I'm going to have to go back home. At first, I was like, my parents are going to say, see, I told you so. It's never going to work out. This was not what the Lord hadn't planned for you. You walked away, and I was afraid to go back home at first when everything kind of came down. And it was actually a friend of the family that took me out to coffee one day. She just wanted to sit down and kind of see where I was at and just to share love and to talk. And I was a little hesitant about going at first, but I went and met with her. We talked, and she was just very loving, very open, and just shared about what life was like for me at the time. And she actually had brought me a devotional, the Jesus Calling devotional. And the devotion that she had, that was for that day, completely just spoke to my heart. I could feel God really starting to move in my heart at that point. And that was kind of, I would believe, would be my turning point in the whole story. That night, I went back to where I was staying, was sitting in the room, and I could feel God just saying my name and just sitting on the floor in the room saying, Angie, Angie, calling out to me. And I screamed at him and I said, just leave me alone, because I was trying to run away, trying to stay hidden from him. And no matter what, he always was right there. And after that night, I was starting to get in contact with my parents and my siblings. And there was just, I think it was about a week or so later that I was over at my parents' house. It was the first time I had gone back over there. I was hanging out with one of my brothers. And that night, once I went back to where I was staying, I just had this ache in my heart. I want to go home. I'm done with this. I'm done with this life. I'm done with living this lie. So that night I was laying in bed, and I had gotten a call from my mom saying to come back home. And I instantly just felt this relief and this peace. And I said, yes, I want to come back home. And so it was that night I started packing up all my things. The next day was a Sunday. They came and picked me up. We went to church. My first time going back, seeing all the people that I'd grown up with since I was born. And it was hard. It was definitely hard showing my face in front of all these people that knew what I had done. But I was so ready to come back home to start mending things with my family and with God.
And then that day, I'll never forget, was January 25th, when she came home, and it was awesome. But it took months and months for real reconciliation.
I know for me, it took a while. I had to work through anger and forgiveness.
There was so much. She was so different. She looked different. She talked different. She acted different. At first, I said, I see no good in this, and I have no idea what good will come from this. But God in His sovereignty and His goodness strengthened my husband and I and made our marriage stronger and better through it. We could encourage one another, and that I had really low days and he would, and we just encourage one another.
If there's one thing I learned, is to keep on praying, not to stop. It is discouraging. It is. I don't know what other things can be done, but I know prayer can always be done. Yeah. To see the whole scope of the story, you might say, beginning with the walk away to where she is today, a married woman, loving her husband, her new granddaughter coming before too long, to see the scope of God's grace to take a rebellious person all the way to this point here with the blessings that there is. That is an encouragement to me. I'm sure it's an encouragement to my wife.
God has forgiven us so much. There's no way we could not forgive. God is in the ministry of reconciliation. I wouldn't have made it through. We wouldn't have without the strength of the Lord. And my devotionals, I can look back now, and 10 years ago, and I see where I was writing, God, save my baby. And now I can, I see his hand, and it seems like a whole other person ago. And we just have the best relationship. She's one of my best friends, and he so did move the mountains. He really did.
God really grabbed a hold of me when I did not have the desire to go back to him at the time. And he truly never leaves you, even when you are at your ugliest. And he really does make beautiful things out of the dust. He takes these awful situations, even when we are the ones that make them awful, and he can still use them for his good. If there's anybody that is going through a similar situation or is contemplating going through and you feel like there's no hope, there is always another way out. God always gives us another way out. And no matter how far you go and how far you walk away from the Lord, when he's got you, he's got you, whether you want to run away or not. I never thought I would walk away from the Lord, but God is so much bigger than all of my failures, and I am so glad that he brought me back home.
Lord, I thank you, God, that you are good, that you are faithful. Lord, that you do make beautiful things out of dust. And Lord, I ask, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, where we are right now in our life. Lord, no matter what's going on, God, I ask that you would meet us right here, right now. Lord, I pray, God, that as you have people at churches all over the valley today, God, that you'd speak to people. Lord, if they're at the Meadows, or, Lord, if they're at Momentum, or if they're at Cross Church, or Desert Springs, Lord, that you would speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So that story, it's close to home for me because that's my sister and my parents. And I remember walking through that. I remember walking through it with my family. I remember walking through it with her friends that she said that, and then being frustrated with her, and us as siblings being frustrated with her, and then realizing that she's one of my parents' favorites, and all, you know, going through those emotions, you know, just kidding, sort of. But, you know, I remember that, and I remember just thinking, you don't realize you're drifting away from God, you don't drifting away from your family until you've drifted away. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in the ocean. You're just sort of sitting there in the water and you're playing or you're having fun. And all of a sudden you look up and you think, where am I right now? You know, you think, what just happened? How did I get here? How did I get off course so bad? And you see, and it just happens. It happens in life. There are times in life where, you know, you get hit by the wave and the wave sort of shakes your life. And maybe those big situations where things just sort of disrupt everything. And there are those moments. But I think for so many of us, it's a drifting that happens. It's a drifting that happens in life where we look up and we really wonder what happened and how did I get here? See, I think drifting is more dangerous than anything. We're just enjoying our time, but then all of a sudden we look around and we think, how did I get here? Many Christians are living and drifting out of control and they don't even realize it. Some are aware and they're close to God and all of a sudden they are concerned, like going, okay, I'm drifting, what's happening? And some Christians are aware, others just don't care. They don't care that it's happening. You see, we have to realize that there are forces constantly against us, pushing us away from God. We have to realize that there is a force in this world that is wanting to push you as far away from God as possible. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much you read the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're the strongest Christian in the world. There are forces in your life that are pushing you away from God. If you are not a believer, you've not taken any kind of step of faith. Today you are in church because somebody asked you to come. There are forces in your life saying, that are saying, you don't want God. God doesn't want you. Look at everything he did to you. And there are forces pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. You see, we have to realize what has your attention determines your direction. What has your attention determines your direction. And what has your attention also has your affection. Our life is designed to be on a course of some kind. It's designed that way. What is your course? You see, you never drift away from something without drifting to something else. Isn't that the truth? That's what is all about drifting. You are somewhere and then you start drifting somewhere else. That's just life. So I ask you again, or I want to remind you, whatever has your attention determines your direction. If you are looking here, you're going to walk here. But if you want to go here, you've got to walk this way. You have to turn your body. Because whatever has your attention also has your affections. If we don't admit we are susceptible to drifting, then you know what? We probably are already drifting away. If we're not willing to admit I could drift at any moment in my life, and you're like, well, drift, like walk away from everything. Drifting could be in anything. It could be in your relationship. It could be in your focus at work. It could be in anywhere. We can drift. We can get comfortable. And all of a sudden we can look up going, how did I get here? How am I unhappy in my marriage? How am I unhappy in this? At some point we got distracted and we allowed drifting to happen. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews writes this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, he says, for this reason, we must pay much close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who have heard. God also, verse 4, God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts and the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The writer of Hebrews gives us one thing to do. One thing. He says, pay close attention. Pay close attention. We have to pay attention. So how do we not drift in life? How can we not drift? And because drifting can happen at any moment. It can happen right now in my life. And I can tell you, like, for me, like, my prayer life, where it was and where it should be today, it's not. Because I've gotten comfortable. You know, the weather's changed. It's darker. It's colder in the morning. I like to sleep in a bit. Not going to lie. So I'm like, this morning, Sunday mornings is the only day I'm like, if I don't wake up early, then I'm going to just mess up my whole Sunday. So Sunday morning is the only day where I've stayed committed. Every other day, I'm like, 6:30. 7:30. If it wasn't for football yesterday, probably would have slept in till today. No, I'm kidding. But you see, what are we paying attention to? And where is it directing our course? Direction affects our desires and our motivation. Whatever has our attention determines your direction. We have to remember that. That is so key. Whatever has our attention in life, it is going to determine our direction. Whatever grabs you, whatever has your attention is also going to get your affection. It's going to get your heart. It's going to get your passions. It's going to get the best parts of you. Whatever has your attention. If it's your work has your attention, you know what? It's going to get your affections. It's going to get your direction. If it's your money, if you're worried about building up, getting more, I just want to be safe. I just want to be secure. I just want to do this. That will never give you the security and the safety you will have in Jesus Christ. But you see, so many times that can be what we want. Is it success? Is it being accepted? Is it a person? Is it you? Are you the person that gets all of your attention? Or is it a sin? You see, these are just a few. But if these have our attention, then we're drifting. We are all susceptible at drifting at any moment. The writer of Hebrews says we must pay close attention to what we have learned. We must pay close attention to what we have learned. What have we learned? Some of you, maybe you're new to this whole faith thing, new to this whole Jesus thing, but here's what there is for us in this book of Hebrews, what has already been spoken of, that there's power in God. There's power in Him. That there's forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin is possible. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are. It doesn't matter how ugly you think you look. Forgiveness is possible. And that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. That's what we found. That's what is found in verse chapter 1 of Hebrews. You see, some of us are new to this whole God thing, this whole church thing, this whole Bible thing. But you see, drifting affects us all in life. Those who have been with Jesus, they've been a Jesus follower for a long time, and those who are brand new to it, it's all part of it. And maybe right now you're not a Jesus follower. You're here at church. You've only been coming a little bit, and you're wondering, why do I feel like I'm just drifting through life? Because there are some people, they're just drifting in life, and that's just sort of what life is. It's just drifting. Jesus is the only anchor that will hold your life together and will keep you from drifting. He's the only anchor. Nothing else is going to hold you grounded. Nothing else is going to give you guidance. Nothing else is going to help you except Jesus Christ. He's the only one that is going to give you a firm foundation in your life. You're wondering, maybe it'll be in this. Maybe it'll be in a relationship. Maybe it's when I have enough money, or maybe it's when I have the right job, or maybe it's when I finish college, or maybe it's when I find the right person, or maybe it's when I have this. And we try to find all these things that will be this anchor, and we realize, why does it keep slipping? It's because that's what happens when your anchor is empty and made of foam. Jesus is the only anchor that will hold you. Paying attention is how we stay on course. Remember, whatever has your attention determines your direction. Whatever has your attention, whatever grabs you every morning, whatever wakes you up at night, whatever the first thing that you want to do in the morning, whatever it is, that's what has your attention. That's what will determine your direction. That is what will get your affections. David in the Psalms writes this. If you want to turn there, you can, or you can pay attention to the screen behind me. He writes this in Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, or this word, this book, he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. And whatever it does, he prospers. David writes this about staying on course. If you want to delight in your life, if you want to have a life that's firmly planted, if you want to be in a place where you're growing in life, and if you want to be in a place where you're prospering, you're going, I want to prosper. And we think prospering means money. Well, God does want to bless us. But if you're looking, going, I want to prosper in life, David says this. A blessed life comes when you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, when you don't stand in the path of sinners, and when you don't sit in the seat of scoffers. This is a picture of drifting. This is a picture of affections changing. Because whatever has our attention determines our direction. The writer says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So I ask you this. He says, who does not walk in the counsel? Counsel meaning somebody who has your ear. Who has your ear? Is it your friends, your coworkers? Is it some guy at work that's grabbing your attention because he's noticing you and your husband's not noticing you? And all of a sudden somebody says, hey, you know what? You look really pretty today. And the last thing your husband said is, what are we having for dinner? Who has your ear? That's your walk. And it says, whoever stands in the path of sinners, who has your time? What has your time? You see, it says, whoever stands in the path of sinners, sinners have a path. It's a rut that they've made, and it's so easy to get caught into it. Could you fall into it? You know, your friends, that's what they do. They go out drinking on the weekends. They go out and do this. They're going to watch the game, and you know you're just going to, if you go in that path, you know exactly what the rut looks like because you've been there. You want to get out of it, but you know that rut. You know that path. You're like, I don't want to drift that way anymore. Well, then you can't walk in that path. You have to make a choice because whatever has your attention is going to determine your direction. If you want to change your direction, then change what has your attention. And then David says this, sits in the seat of scoffers. Who has your affections? Scoffers criticize wise words. They block help. They're prideful. They're like, I don't need help. I don't need this. David is pretty clear on how to prevent and protect your life. So how can we prevent drifting in our life? How can we be watchful of it? Number one, we must set reference points. You must set reference points in your life. When I was a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and we would take the kids to the beach. And what we would do is we would stand on the beach, we'd have them look at the shore and say, okay, do you see lifeguard station 7 and 8? You stay between there. If you've drifted past one, reset and get back up on shore. And reset yourself between those. What are your reference points? I can tell you what mine are. I start looking, going, how much social media time am I actually giving? Because if I am obsessed with it, if I'm on it, if that's the first thing I do in the morning, then you know what? I just deleted it because I'm like, you know what? I can't. I need to reset. I've got to come back up on the shore. I look going, when was the last time I took my wife on a date? If it's been 3 weeks, that's 3 weeks too long. If I haven't taken my wife on a date, then I'm drifting. We're drifting. If it's been 3 weeks, I look at that going, we're drifting right now. We realize we've got to reset. We've got to come up on the shore and reset. That is for me. If I look at my Bible plan and I realize I haven't been, I'm drifting. How are my quiet times? What are they like? What are my times that I'm reading in the Bible right now? What do those look like? If they're not happening, I'm drifting. What are your reference points? Men, if you are not caring for your wife, somebody else is. Men, if your wife needs you, you better give her time. You better give her time. Men, your wife is a reference point for you. If she says she is struggling, then you know what? A date night is not what you need. It's not a date night. You don't need, hey, honey, we just need to hang out for a little bit. No, it might need more. If your wife is struggling, then you need to focus. Say, okay, what is going on right now? What is happening in our relationship? How did we drift? Because a date night is not going to fix it. Sometimes, men, what we need to do is we need to say, you know what? Maybe we need to meet with somebody. Maybe we need to get counseling. We need to get help. So many people are so prideful. And they let something get ruined, and they come to the pastor at the last minute saying, hey, we need help. And I'm going, this didn't happen overnight. You've been drifting. You're at Pier 1, and we started 7 miles down the road. How did you get here? You drifted. You drifted. Have reference points in your life. Have reference points. Get your pride out. If I could cuss right now, I would say something really bad. But that's my idea. Get it out of your life. Admit that we all can drift. Are the things that you've set as your reference points, are they measurable? I can look going, okay, when was the last time we went on a date? I can look at when my wife and I went on a date. I can know those. If we go past too long, I know, okay, we got to reset. I can look at my Bible app, and if it says it hasn't been opened in days, then I know, okay, something's wrong right now. Something's wrong. If you're devotional, you started it January 1st, you're January 3rd, and you look, you open it today, and it's February whatever day it is, you're like, oh, man, I'm a month behind. Now, these aren't laws. I'm not trying to, God doesn't say, if you don't do this, you're not going to be saved. I'm helping you set reference points so you can reset and re-guide your life. It's the same. If you have a corporate job, they're going to give you goals. And if you get off task, they're going to say, hey, you know what? You need to reset. What's going on? You haven't been getting your things done. No, you get fired for that. God's not going to fire you. Thank goodness, right? Number two, set an accountability relationship. This could be city group. I love our city group. Our city group is fun. We have a good time praying together. This could be men's prayer. We have a men's, for those of you who are dudes, there's a men's prayer every Wednesday morning from 6 to 7 in the morning. There's a group of men that pray. And if you need prayer, any of you need prayer, there's a group of men, I would have them all raise their hand, but they won't even be here next service, so I'm not going to say it. If you need prayer, email Tony or myself, email CityView, and we will send those to them. Get a counselor or a good friend. Number three, set the habit of praying and wisdom. Set the habit of praying for wisdom and boldness. Because whatever has your attention determines your direction. Drifting happens in life, but you don't have to live adrift. If you guys would please welcome up Angie and her husband Josh and Alan, Sharon, Semler, my parents, and come on, slowpoke. Josh is bringing up the baby, so you guys all ooh and ah, and she is pretty cute. Not gonna lie, I'm amazed that. They can have such a cute baby. I mean, look at Josh. He is a handsome stud. But hey, thank you so much for sharing your story, all of you. I appreciate it, and I know it was hard. I know for my dad, he was like stressing and was worried and being grumpy at me about it and everything. But, you know, a son can manipulate their parents too, so... Kids, you learn that at a young age, so get practice at it. No, but thank you seriously so much. I mean, I love you. I remember walking through it, and it wasn't easy. I remember lots of tears and angry and mad and really wondering what in the world happened to you and why are you demon-possessed now, Ange, and all those. I mean, I say that lightly, but it was literally like, what in the world happened? But see, she drifted. Drifted right into a storm that almost like a, what are those things that spin around? No, in the water. Tornadoes aren't on the, whirlpool, thank you. School teacher got it for me. A whirlpool, it's like you drifted right into a whirlpool and then you just like spin it out of control. But got a couple questions. Angie, looking back, what would you say caused you to drift from God? Because it happened before October.
It did. It was a few months in the making, and honestly, drifting is the perfect word for it because I grew up in a Christian family. I knew the truth. I knew what God had in store for me, what his plans were, and it was just one day I drifted far enough to where I opened my eyes, and bam, I was there. It was just believing the lies of the enemy day in and day out, and it eventually just piled up on itself. To where I lost who I was, and just believing the lies of the enemy is the biggest thing.
Wow. Will you pass that? Josh is just Angie's arm candy today.
And baby hate.
Mom and Dad, what is one thing that kept you anchored? If you had one thing that kept you anchored.
God's Word.
God's Word.
A friend of mine sent a card, and in it was Psalm 18. And I made copies of that verse, and I put it everywhere in my house while she was gone. And I would put it down the staircase, and I would walk a few steps. And there were days where I couldn't even go any farther without reading it. My God is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God in whom I will trust. And I would just go and walk a few more steps. It was God's Word, devotionals, that kept me anchored. And that's what I would say.
There was a phrase, who else has the words of life? Jesus, there was a point where everyone was leaving Jesus, and he turned to Peter and said, are you going to leave me too? And I'm paraphrasing. And Peter said, who else has the words of life? And that's what helped me.
Let's keep the mic. So what is one thing that if you could do different, might you do different?
You know, that was something we to really think about. That truly, it's very practical, taking her cell phone away at night. That was something that a friend shared that she did with her kids, because at nighttime was when she would have the conversations and we didn't know about. And don't be afraid to check your
the kids,
huh? That is good. And checking text messages. Don't be afraid. Privacy is an earned thing. It's not something we had that with Jeremiah when he was younger. So it's an earned thing. It's not something that's automatic that you have to give. So
the government's doing it. So you know.
You know, I'm not sure how to answer that. I know that with my first two, meaning you and your brother Josh, there's things that I would change as a parent. But with Angie, it's not that we were perfect. It was just we were more experienced and better parents. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I was just the test guy. So Angie, I love that, taking away phone. Because I think we're scared to lose our kids' friendships. They're not your friend yet. They're not your friend. They'll be your friend, but they're your kid first. They'll be your friend when they're older. Don't be scared. That's such a good thing.
Well, and on that note, really quick with that, when they had asked me what they could have done differently, there was nothing that they did wrong as parents. It was all me. It wasn't that they lacked any kind of supervision or discipline. It wasn't that at all. It was all me, all my own mind, and all just the enemy.
And you're still one of the favorites. So, Ange, last question. What would you say to a parent who has a kid that they either has drifted or they're physically watching them drift away now? What would you say to that parent or to that kid?
To the parents, I would say just don't lose hope. Stay in prayer. Prayer is the strongest thing. That's what brought me back. I know that for a fact. And just don't lose hope, because God does move the mountains. He truly does. No matter how far you drift away, God will bring your child back. He'll bring you back. And if you are drifting away right now, you feel yourself drifting away, look for that focal point, like Jeremiah said. Look for that focal point and just see, okay, where am I at right now? Because you drift so fast, so easily, when you don't even realize it.
That's good. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing your little daughter up here. You know, it's so true. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because God is bigger than any kind of disaster that could happen. Don't lose hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for today. God, I thank you that we have hope in you. If we have lost hope, restore our hope. If we see hopelessness, Lord, help us see that you are hope. You're not a hope like a thing we might, but you are a promise that is guaranteed. So, Lord, help us set our anchor in you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.